This is an interview with James Lamar Dusty Rhodes at his home in Henderson, Nevada, May 20th, year is 2003. No home runs at Wrigley and rid the wind, I know. We got couple years ago, we had our convention in Milwaukee. We got to go down to Wrigley Field and see a ball game.
Yeah, I'd like to know.
That was my first one at Wrigley. I just need to read something. When I tape something, and what we do is we have a lending library, and we send the tapes to the lending library. Anybody doing research then can listen to it. Right. So, but in order to do that, I just need to read this.
I read it.
Okay. We will be sending a copy of the tape to the Baseball Hall of Fame. And also to SABRE, the Society for American Baseball Research. They have the right to distribute the tape or transcript of the interview to other researchers and post it on the internet for others to hear. Is that okay, Radio?
I don't care what they hear.
Oh, okay. Just something legally we have to do.
I had to give a guy an interview down at the Stardust, and it was on the internet for all week.
Was it really?
It's nice trying to play cool. Yeah, so this brother knows I'm here.
You were born in Alabama. Did you grow up in Alabama or South Carolina?
I only lived in South Carolina a couple of years. I was born in Alabama. Then I started playing baseball, and I went around the country, and I finally stopped at Rock Hill and stayed there a couple of years.
Is that a nice place?
Oh, I love Rock Hill. There's only about 20,000 people there.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me a parade after the 54 series, and hell, there must have been 100,000 people there.
Wow.
I was pretty popular around there.
I bet you were. Growing up in Alabama, did you play baseball as a boy?
Not really. I finally, after I got a job, moved to Montgomery when I was about 15, I think I played a little softball. But that was the size of it until I went overseas and then I came back. I was in the Navy for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
So then I started playing baseball and that was it. My friend of mine, he lived next door to a Catholic church, and the priest sponsored a softball team, and that's how I got started.
Oh, okay. So you're playing softball and?
Yeah, softball and baseball.
Uh-huh. Who approached you to sign a pro contract?
Well, I was going to Florida, and something happened. I didn't make it, so my friend that I was going with said, why don't we go across to, he's the one that lived next door to the church. He said, Father Rafferty is having a ball game this afternoon at Coop Street. He said, why don't we go and watch it? I said, fine. So I went over there with him. And there's two players that didn't show up for the ball, so he was only had seven guys playing. So he couldn't play the game unless we played. So he asked me, and I said, Priest did. And I said, nah, I said, Elvin and I, we're going to Florida. I said, I ain't got time to play no game. We're going to leave this afternoon after a while. So after about 20 minutes, we finally decided, all right, I'll play. So he wanted me to play center field, which I did, and I played barefooted. Center field, I didn't have no spikes. I was going to Florida. So the first time up, I hit a home run across the street over in the house. And the second one, I hit it through a window, and then I hit a triple. And it's the fourth time up, I hit another triple. And as I was running to the outfield when the inning was over, this old guy, about 80-something years old, said to me, what professional team do you play for? And I said, are you kidding me? I said, it's the first time I've played. I said, I love this game. Ain't it good? And I'd run out to center field. So when the game was over, he gave me his card. He said, I'm staying down at the hotel downtown, and I wish you'd come down and talk to me. So I did. And the next thing I know, he gave me a contract. He said, look, you're too young to sign it yourself. Have your mother sign it and send it back in if you want to play baseball next year. So from Miami to Tampa, we walked, Elvin and I. And I opened the bag we had, and I seen that contract. I said, Elvin, what do you think? So he signed my mother's thing when I sent it in. And they sent me a contract the next year.
Uh-huh.
So that's how I got started.
Was that with the Giants?
No, it was with Nashville. This guy was a scout for Nashville who was affiliated with the Cubs.
Oh, okay.
And I said, boy, I'd love to play with the Cubs. But then it didn't happen that way.
When did you tell your mom and dad that you were going to play baseball?
I don't think I ever did. Because they was living on the farm, and I had a job in Montgomery, so I never did tell them I was going to play golf. Hmm.
Did you follow the major leagues when you were a kid?
Oh, I can remember years ago when we used to get the morning paper, the mailman would, in the country, about quarter after 11, they'd drop the paper in the mailbox. So we used to run to see how Babe Ruth did and Lou Gehrig, and so we followed the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Uh-huh.
And I remember seeing where Ruth got 3 for 4 and Lou Gehrig, I think, was 2 for 3 or something like that. I didn't know what 2 for 3 was back then. I was about 6 years old. That was many, many years ago.
Yeah. What branch of the service were you in?
I was in the Navy. Uh-huh. I went to boot training in the Great Lakes, right outside of Chicago.
Uh-huh. And you were there for a couple of years?
No, I went through boot training, 6 weeks.
Uh-huh. No, I meant you were in the Navy for...
I was in the Navy almost 2 years. Uh-huh. But then, this is 44. I was only 17 when I was in 1944. So I was in the service to the duration. The war was over, and then... according to how many points you had, that's when you got out.
Uh-huh.
So I had a year and almost 2 years, so I got out of it pretty early.
Did you play any baseball or softball when you were in the Navy?
I played a little softball. But see, I threw underhanded, and it's illegal, but nobody knew it was illegal. And these guys couldn't hit me, and they wouldn't play against us.
Uh-huh.
So I had to lob it to them. Would you believe this? Yep.
So you signed with Nashville.
Yeah, we were the scout for Nashville. He sent me to Kentucky, Hopkinville, Kentucky. And I played that 1 year, and I hit, I think, 326 that year. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know how to hold a man at second base. So I played the outfield, and then the next year they sent me to Hutchinson, Kansas. And I hit 304. And then I enjoyed getting sent out. So I must have made about 6 clubs 1 year. Because then they pay you for the traveling time, and I'd have a ball.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd show up 2-3 days later. And then I'd play the rest of the year unless they ship me out again. But I just love to play the game.
You remember any of the managers or players on those teams?
Frank Scalzi was my first manager, and then, like I said, I was in the Cub organization, and this other guy, he was affiliated with the Chicago Cubs. Okay, that's in 1947. You know, that's 55 years ago.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is. Let's see, I was trying to think. Todd, Bill, Pied, P-I-E-T, was the manager.
Uh-huh.
And then the next year, I think that I was at 3 or 4 clubs. I was Springfield, Massachusetts. That was in 49. And then we used to play ball in Quincy, Massachusetts, right next to the Red Sox. And I remember Maurice McDonald. He was left-handed pitcher for the Red Sox. That was his first game. Well, we was going to play that night, and they played the afternoon, so we watched the ball game.
Uh-huh.
In Fenway Park. I never thought I'd play there, but I did quite a few times.
Uh-huh. What were the ballparks like back there in the minor leagues?
Oh, you couldn't see. At nighttime, it was dark. It was dark.
They played mostly night ball?
Yeah, except Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And then I remember when I went to the Giants, they brought a guy up. Pittsburgh did. They call it Rocket Ron Nishi. He struck out 27 guys down in the mine. 27. Now, you know nobody could see. But they had the little light bulbs up there. You could see the ball.
Uh-huh.
Now, he didn't last the first inning. And then they sent him out.
And see, you made the major leagues in July of 52.
Yeah, 52. I was at an All-Star game down in New Orleans when they told me that I was going to New York. And by the way, we lost that game. I hit a line drive. They had people standing in the right field. In fact, you could pop it over the second base and you're in the crowd. And I hit a line drive. The guy caught with the bases loaded. We got to beat that game. I never will forget. All I do is hit the ball a little high. And then when I got back to Nashville, they said I was going to New York. And I met the club on Elk in Cincinnati. And I never rode on a damn plane before except the time that I went to the All-Star game down in New Orleans. And I got on that plane in Nashville, and it started bouncing all over the place. And I said to the steward, I said, where did I get my baggage? I said, I'm getting off at the next stop. And it happened to be Cincinnati.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, I was getting off that plane.
Your first day in the major leagues, how did the players and the managers treat you?
Not too hot, because I had took one of the favorite players' place, Chuck Gehring. He had his locker between Monty Irvin and Hank Thompson. So I was sitting in, my locker was in between them, and they had sent him out on account of me coming up. They don't know who well I am. I look mean and all this, you know, I've got a smile. And they looked like I belonged to the bubonic plague or something, the way they did. It took about a year or two to get used to those people.
Uh-huh.
Well, I didn't care anyway because I was alone.
Your first major league game, you hit a home run?
No. First time up, I struck out, but I got a base hit off of Frank Raffenberger. Raffenberger.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was left-handed pitcher for Cincinnati, and we won the ball game. And I never forget Joe Adcock. Was playing with Cincinnati at the time before they traded him to Milwaukee. And he had a line drive, bounced off the left field wall in the eighth inning. And the score was 2-2, I never forget. And I took it off the wall and without hesitation threw right straight to second, one hopper, and they tagged Joe out at second. And we won that ball game. Next top of the night, David Williams tripled, two runs in, and we won that game 4-2. And we went on to win 6 or 7 games, went to St. Louis, and we wrapped them up.
Uh-huh.
And then went back to New York. First pitch, I hit a home run, the polar bear.
Oh, okay.
And we won quite a few games that year, but we lost out on the pennant for about two games, I think, 1952.
How excited were you to be in the major leagues?
No, I wasn't excited. I just like to play games. It made me no difference. Ball game's a ball game.
Did you play all three positions in the outfield, or?
Well, in New York, I did. Well, some sports writers said that no one had ever, the Giants had never won without Willie playing center field. And Willie's aunt died, and I played center field, and I never will forget. I drove in both runs, and we won that ball game 2-1. Yeah, that guy was wrong.
He sure was. What was it like playing in the Polo Grounds?
Oh man, that ballpark and the ones that I came up from, it's like night and day.
Uh-huh.
Your ball would hit a clodhopper and bounce up, kill you or whatever. But out there, your man should never make an error in the big league.
Those fields are really manicured and
beautiful.
Tell me about playing for Leo DeRocher.
Well, I tell you. Leo was one of the toughest managers ever lived. But if you gave the man 110%, and I guarantee you, he loved you. You know, he didn't care if you made an error. He didn't care that. But stupid mistakes, you better not make. Because he said, this ain't no training up here. He said, if you don't know how to play, we'll send you somewhere where you learn how to play. Then you can come back. And he meant it.
Mm-hmm.
He was tough, but I tell you, he was fair. Well, I love the old man, but he didn't realize I did. He thought I hate him, but I didn't.
He liked your pitch hitting, though, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He had a magic touch. Well, we had a really good ball club, too. But, you know, we had Alvin Dock at shortstop, and if the man's on second base, I don't care what happened, he would get that man to third base. He always got the man over. But they don't play games like that no more. What they do now is worry about their batting average. I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care where they win or lose. Well, they make $2-3 million. They care where they win or lose. That's, well, I'll get 340. Like, how many drive runs did you drive in? How many did you get over to third base? See, that's all in the game, too. But they don't play that game this year. Not now. And you know this. I'm right.
I understand.
And say, I can never be a manager. No, not the way these guys play today. No.
You mentioned that you were a loner. Did you have, who were some of your roommates?
Well, I only had one roommate up there, Bobby Hoffman. He was a right-handed pinch hitter, and I was a left-handed pinch hitter. And I played once in a while. Well, I played a lot more than Bobby did. But unless we went to St. Louis, and then Bobby lived there. So I would room with, you know, different guys that while we were in St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
Well, I room with Bobby all the time.
What was it like playing in St. Louis in the summertime?
Oh, you know, hot weather didn't bother me. I used to pick cotton in August, 115 degrees in Alabama, so that didn't mean no good.
Who were some of the team leaders on the Giants back then?
Alvin Darkwell, while I played there. And when he left, I don't think we had a leader. In fact, I know we didn't. No, he kept the club together, and like I said, he got the man over the third base. I don't care how he did it, but he got it there.
Mm-hmm.
And we won a lot of games with Alvin.
He turned into a pretty good manager.
Yeah, he managed Cleveland. Didn't he manage the Giants a while? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a good man. Well, he's still living. He's still a good man.
Uh-huh. So you mostly were a pinch hitter during your career, right?
Yeah, I played down in the minors. I played every game, but in New York. See, you had so many guys on the club that they had other guys that, well, better than I would. So I'd only play against the hard-throwing right-handers and left-handers. If they threw 100 miles an hour, I played.
Uh-huh. Could really hit a fastball.
A guy like Stu Miller couldn't break a pane of glass. I couldn't hit him. So I didn't play against him. Bonnie used to kill it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, could he wear Stu Miller out?
Manny was a pretty good ball player.
Oh, yeah, he was, and he was one of the gentlemen. One of the nicest persons I have ever met in my lifetime.
What was a young Willie Mays like?
Oh, oh, he's a kid. You know, he's like a 10-year-old kid. Now, that's a guy that loved to play the game. In fact, when the game's over, he'd go back to Harlem and he'd play stickball with those kids. He's only about 18, 19 years old. He's a kid. He loved that game. In fact, I was talking to Willie the other day.
Why do you think the Giants beat Cleveland in the 54 World Series?
You know, as you go back to baseball, and I played many years, but any given day, you could take a club from down south, like B-ball or C-ball or A-ball, and would beat the Yankees, the 1927 Yankees. They would win that certain day. But it just happened this time when Willie made that catch. Seemed like they died. You know, it just took everything right out of them because they were so hepped up. And that's what I think. I think Willie's catch, and then when that home run I hit with the wind blowing the right field, 257 feet, that Willie's catch didn't kill him. The one I hit killed him. So that did it. And they were so far down they couldn't catch us back.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we had a pretty good pitching staff that year.
Yes, you did.
Where did I meet you at? Down at the
Star? At the card show.
Yeah, the Star. Yeah. Old Rick. Yeah, I was over to see Rick this morning.
Were you really?
Yeah, he wanted me to sign a bat for him. So I did, you know. I made the last side of the polo ground in 1957.
You did?
Yes, I did. And went right on to the clubhouse. A lot of people don't realize I did, but I did.
What kind of, was it a hit?
No,
out, or?
A ground ball, a double, it was a ground ball to the shortstop.
And then you walked right?
I just went right on past, it was the last out, and I just ran to first base and went right on to the center field bleachers. That's where our clubhouse was.
Uh-huh.
And that was it. Next year we moved to San Francisco.
So you didn't play in 58, did you?
No, Regney got to be manager that year. Well, I think he was managing 57 too, I think. But anyway, Regney and I didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things. And he sent me to Phoenix in the Coast League, which is, oh, I love the guy. Oh, man, yeah. We go to Hawaii for a week at a time, twice, yeah. Three times a year. Now, what else could you ask for? We go to Seattle, in Vancouver, San Diego. That was before, San Diego, that was before they moved out there.
They played a lot of games in the Coast League, didn't they, Darren?
They used to play, I think it was 164, 168 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they played in Hollywood. Boy, that was nice there.
Some really good players played there.
A lot of guys that stayed in the Coast League didn't want to go to the big leagues.
After Willie made the catch, I think... The most amazing thing I think about the catch was the throw he made back to the infield.
Yeah, you can hold that guy at second base. Otherwise, we'd have scored, the game's over anyway. They would have won 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never come to bat in the 10th inning.
Game two. Did you start game two, or were you pinched hit?
I didn't start any game.
Okay.
So I don't, Leo said the guy who played the last game in Philadelphia will start the first game in the World Series. And I played in Philadelphia that last game of the season. And then when it got the lineup, and my name wasn't there, so I guess Leo changed his mind. But I tell you what, he had the mightiest touch that year. Everything he touched turned to gold.
Some years are like that.
Yeah, well, sometimes you can't do no wrong. But like I said, I think he was the greatest man you ever lived.
Game two, you faced early win.
Oh, man, the first pitch he threw me, I thought he killed me. I can still feel that ball. It's been 50 years next year. 50 years since he threw that ball, and I can still feel that ball going by my head. He just brushed my head. See, I got a hat on just like I got now.
Uh-huh.
No, nothing inside of it. Nothing. And it just went right on past my ear. And I can still feel that ball going through it. But, you know, I didn't run out there with the bat and get mad and going to kill him all this. So I just tried to kill him. Yeah. Next time up, I tried to get a base hit, which I did. I blew through a little hit in the left center field. But the next time up, I hit the top of the roof. So he sure his head didn't bother me. But they said there's two guys on the Giant Club you don't knock down, and one of them was me and the other was Willie. Said, don't wake them up. And he made a mistake. He knocked me down. But you didn't knock Willie down. Oh, man.
No.
He's tough. And you ain't going to hit him. There ain't no way you will hit Willie.
And he would just get up and dust himself off?
And he'd kill you. And you know what? Why I believe that Willie is the greatest player ever lived is he played for 20-something years and he was never hurt. He played every game like a kid. He loved that game.
Loved the game.
And see, the guys today, they don't really love the game like guys did years ago. Well, they didn't love it for the money because hell, they didn't make that much. Now they get $2-3 million. Oh, come on.
What was your highest salary in the minute?
$17,000.
How much did you make for the World Series win?
$12,000. That's the most was ever made at that time. You know what they get now? Over $280,000 for everybody.
A lot of money.
Oh, man, yeah.
Well, that's just pocket change to most of these guys. Huh?
And we used to get $5 meal money. Now they get $250. You know how much money some of these guys could save now? Because there was a lot of cheap guys I played with. And if they get hungry, they went up and slept it off. That's how cheap they were. Well, you know, there's a lot of people like that. And out of $250 a day, I think they'd save $250. Of course, you can get hamburgers now for 99 cents.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Well, how did the Giants travel back then? Were they still
back then, we trained until 1954, we started flying. I never got it. We had an off day on the Monday, and we'd take the train to St. Louis. See, that's as far west we went. And then we'd start coming back. Then we'd wind up in Chicago maybe a week or two later. And then we'd have a direct flight back to New York. I'll direct the train.
Right. I've read stories about the 54 season. During spring training, you played the Indians quite a bit.
Every year we play them. They had their training down in Tucson. And we'd play them 6 or 8 games or more, spring training.
Uh-huh.
Well, I want to tell you something about that pitching staff Cleveland had. For the first 2-3 weeks, it seemed like they just loved the ball, and man, you could wear them out. But then when it gets about the week just before they're going back north, you ain't going to touch them, guys. Now they're ready to go. And I don't even think I got a loud foul off of a lemon. He had a sinker that would sink a foot. And my intention was, when I went to bat the first time, was to take the first pitch, because I know he's going to throw me a fastball. He hung a curve. And I go, oh, man, my eyes must have got big as your hat. And I swung off balance, I think, a little bit, and then the wind took it into the seats. And that was one of those things, and I guess if he had that ball back, he'd like to have it back. In fact, after the ball went into the stands, the game's over, Bob flipped his glove into the stands farther than my ball went into the other stands. I bet he just right the stands he threw it.
You were named the MVP of the series.
Yeah, I got a Babe Ruth Award. A plaque, yeah.
A plaque?
Yeah, it was a plaque back then. And then the next year you got an automobile. See, I was a day late and a dollar short. Well, I didn't care, because when I went back to Alabama, they didn't even know I was from Alabama, Montgomery. They gave me an automobile. So I didn't worry about their automobile.
I've also read that during the series, you said, when we win the series, I'm going to go fishing.
I would. I did. And I went fishing.
Did you?
I love to fish.
Yeah.
Many, many years ago, 50 years next year. Seemed like yesterday. You know, years ago, athletes didn't live too long, you know, past 50. But I don't know, something about them, they died. Babe Ruth died at 53, and Lou Gehrig, everybody died before they was 50. And I figured that if I get to around 50, I think I have a head of the game. So I'm actually, right now I'm 76 years old, May 13th. But I forgot to go to bed 30 years, so now, let's see, you add that 76 and 30, that's 100, I'm about 140 years old. I forgot to go to bed. I used to have a ball, believe me.
I also read that prior to game one, you stayed out partying?
No, that's a bunch of crap. Okay. I didn't have one lousy drink during that World Series. No, I didn't. That was a lie.
Okay. Just clarifying.
Well, I'll take that one to my grave, that I did not have no party.
You were ready for the series, huh?
Yeah, because I'd never seen that kind of money before.
What was it like playing in San Francisco?
Well, actually, I never played a game there. I did pinch hit. Like I said, I came back in 59 in Wrigley, and I didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things. And all I did was sit on the bench, and when the score was 9-0, one way or the other, he pinch hit me. He only pinch hit me twice when it meant something. And I got base hit both times. Like I said, I'm the Roches boy as far as he was concerned. And he, for some reason, I don't know why he disliked me or not, but the way he played, you know, is he must have. We got beat in 59. Jim Davenport got hurt at third base. And they put this O'Connell at third base in his place. And I don't know where he bad hops or what, but he forgot to catch a ball to hold. And we was ahead of Los Angeles by 6 games. And we had 6 games to play him. And don't you know that We never won another dang game against Los Angeles. Mm. And I pinched it when it was 10 behind or 10 ahead. And, they, you know, I'm getting mad about it, man. They never, I knew this was my last game. That last year in the big league. So we got beat by, I think it was a game and a half. Otherwise, we, you know, back then you only had 8 teams.
Right.
Now you got 40, you got 100, oh, well, I don't know. They got all these guys down in minor league. So that was another thing that maybe if I had played, who knows? But we didn't, and that's history.
Sandy Koufax.
Oh, geez.
He struck out 18 of the Giants. And
all you see is the top part of a ball with him. Man, could he throw a baseball. You know, he came to Polo Grounds in 1955, and Frank Schellenbeck was the coach. Bobby Hoffman went down in the bullpen to catch Sandy. Now, he's trying out for the Yankees. He wanted a big bonus or something. So I just go down and watch the game. You know, watch him warm up. Man, he was bouncing balls 20 feet in front of the home plate, 10 feet over Bobby's head, and he was running about 100 miles an hour. And so finally, after Bobby got all beat up, Frank Schellenbeck said, son, I tell you what, if I were you, I'd go back to college. I'd forget about baseball. And Sandy went over to Brooklyn the next day, and they signed him for, I think, about $80,000. But if the Giants had assigned him, he would have been out of baseball because it took him 5 years to get his control, and the Giants couldn't carry him for 5 years like that. So, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways, believe me.
What was the best part about playing baseball?
Well, I just loved the game. It was a kid's game. But now, you know, you're supposed to have a lot of fun when you see play the game. But you see these guys right now, this guy didn't hit the curve, didn't see. Back then, if I was the commissioner of baseball, I said, if you bring a computer or write anything down about what this guy don't hit, I'd find it. You know, baseball is baseball. You're supposed to remember, not put it on computers. Now, what good do you think it do? Say he don't hit a curveball. If you don't get in the right place, he's going to hit it. Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
No, if I was commissioner, I'd right away, I'd say, you don't bring no papers, you don't write nothing down about it. You keep it in your head.
What was the worst thing about playing baseball? Is there anything?
There ain't no worse. There was no worse. So a lot of guys say, well, I'm home away from your wife. Sometimes it's good to get away from her.
Keep you married longer there, sometimes.
You know, make sure you call before you come home.
Do you watch some of the games nowadays?
See, when I was in Florida, we could watch about 5 different games. But out here, you watch the Angels and, you see Atlanta. And whoever they play, you see the games. And the Cubs, we watch the Cubs. But I think the last time the Cubs won, Hitler was a corporal, wasn't he? Before. He was a paper hanger.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They've got a pretty good club this year, but I don't know what's going to happen.
Nobody does. That's why they play the games.
That's right. And then Philippe Lou, what a nice man he is. He's the manager of San Francisco. And he always get those guys going. Because when he was with Montreal, you know, they got rid of all his players, but he still was up there in third, fourth, fifth position. And people love to play for him because he's such a nice man.
Mm-hmm. What was it like playing in New York City?
Oh, you know, today I can go back up there and they ever find out who I was. I can never buy another drink. They won't let me buy a drink. But I haven't had a drink in over 20 years. One day I decided, I thought in order to have fun, you've got to be about half cropped. But you know, after I quit, you don't have to be loaded. And I have never forgot a joke that I ever learned, if it's a good joke. I know 9 million jokes.
What's the best joke you know?
Well, I don't think I could put it on that one.
go ahead.
No. If you turn it off, I'll tell you one. I thought that was a cute one.
It is.
Oh, well, I could tell this one. I heard this joke many years ago, and I'm coming up from Florida, come out here to Las Vegas. And I went through Dallas on the way to Oklahoma to cut across on the highway, I think that's 40. I think it is, yes. And I looked in the mirror, and I followed this girl that she was driving, and oh man, she was making me mad, and it was one of those two-lane jobs. And finally she pulled over to the side, and I got mad, and I give it the flow board, and the next thing I know, I looked in the mirror, and there's this red lights all over the damn place. And I was going about 100 miles an hour. And I pulled over to the side, and he eased up to the window. I let the window down. He said, "Now, what did you got to say for yourself?" I said, "Officer, you ain't gonna believe this, but I said 2 months ago my wife ran off with a highway patrolman. And when I seen all them lights coming up behind me, I thought you was bringing her back." He looked at me, he never cracked a smile, and it cost me $238. So that cost, I got mad at that woman ahead of me. Mm. But I thought that was cute. I would have smiled if I had been the cop, but he didn't. That was one of the best jokes I think I ever
heard. Yeah. Almost worth the money.
Well,
not quite.
10 minutes late, I got another ticket.
Oh.
So my wife told me to slow down.
How'd you get your nickname?
Well, that guy, that old guy that scout signed me as I was walking out of the hotel, he said, "Wait a minute, Dusty." So that's where he said. So that's when he gave me the contract. So that's how I got it. Old guy named Bruce I. Hayes. He was, I guess he's in his 80s.
Anything else you want to?
No. I think that ought to have done it.
Yeah.